Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. A good morning to you. We're going to talk about your favorite topic today, eating dirt. Yes, I said eating dirt, often known as plica, P-L-I-C-A, and why you should eat dirt. Engage in that generously and abundantly. Why? Because the animals do it. What animals? The animals of the jungle. And when you find out why, once again, you're going to see God's wisdom at work. True cellular intelligence. Now, we don't eat dirt, obviously, but we know that pregnant women often crave dirt. And we know why, looking for trace minerals that the foods don't have. But let's make another perspective on pregnant women. Pregnant women really are one of the most finely tenured indices, meaning they're one of the best examples of when the intuitive force in the name of propagation of the species, it's at its best. This is what we call those cravings at pregnancy. Now, animals do this regularly. There's a book, and it's a book you should get if you're into this kind of thing, called Wild Health. Wild Health by Cindy Engel, E-N-G-E-L, Cindy, E-N-G-E-L, called Wild Health. How animals keep themselves well and what we can learn from them. Today I'm going to read some of the paragraphs from this book. I just have to. Don't like to read too much on the show. You can do that yourself, but I have to read you some of this. It's absolutely fascinating what animals do to protect themselves using clay from the poisons in the jungle. Well, we're not in the jungle. Yes, we are in the jungle. We're in a chemical toxic swamp. It's called Los Angeles. And if you live anywhere near the oil refineries, anywhere near the Long Beach port, anywhere near LAX, and in a sense, who doesn't? You need to listen to today's show extra closely. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. As always, hate to repeat myself, but get to the website. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. Get to that website. Why? The pictures are there. Why? So I can teach you even better than I can teach you. Concept. You can look up bentonite clay, the healing power of bentonite clay, and you can take the clay. And you can listen to all the different advertisers tell you the reasons you should have the clay and what these things can do. My point to you, amidst the trillion of things you can do for your health, is if you really understand why you're doing what you're doing, which is going to take a deeper level of understanding, then you're really going to understand how to use what everybody tells you is good for you. Otherwise, you get lost in the great big vortex of healing. So, the concept. Where do we start with the use of bentonite clay? And we're just going to clump them together in one big word. Of course, there are different types of clays, but basically, we'll just call it clay. And today, I'm going to focus more specifically on bentonite clay. If you know a product called MediClay FX, made by Premier Research Labs, it's a wonderful source of this clay. It's a calcium bentonite. Should you take it? How long should you take it? When should you take it? For what should you take it? This really isn't the point of the show. Read all that stuff on the internet, or from the advertiser, or the marketer. This is a show to give you an understanding of exactly what's going on and why animals do it and why you should think about it. Let's begin with the large intestine. No pictures today. Put too many pictures in the past. You can picture the large intestine. That's 5 feet, 6 feet of tubing. It starts at the end of the ileum, the end of the small intestine, and goes all the way to the anus. That's where the digested food, the remnant stuff, the stuff you want to get rid of, comes out of. That's where you get your colon cancer, your rectal cancer. That's where you get your sigmoidoscopies. That's where you get your barium enemas. It's where you get your diverticulitis, your diverticulosis, your ulcerative colitis, your ulcerative colitis, and so on and so forth. It's that last 6 feet of you. It's where you get constipated and your belly bloats. It's where you get constipated and it hurts. You know the spot, the large intestine. The inner lining of that large intestine makes mucus. That's a big player here. Mucus is the big player. If you take the mucus off, if you don't eat the foods that make the mucus, if you don't have the oils that make the mucus, then that mucus debrides. It scrapes off. Or it gets congested. When it scrapes off, when it burns off, when you become raw, when the chemical toxicities of the foods you eat or the poisons you ingest get so high, when their percentages increase beyond critical thresholds, and the mucus cannot buffer or protect the inner lining of the large intestine, you begin to ulcerate. That ulceration can go all the way to perforation. And each day we remove large intestines off people of all ages, from age 20 to age 90. We remove them because they have ulcerated and potentially threatened to perforate. And when the inner lining is perforated and what's in your large intestine spills out into the adjoining area, the abdominal cavity, you're going to die. That is a medical emergency. Your belly will get very hard. You see this when appendix is burst. We call it peritonitis. And any condition that's pushing or bordering on peritonitis is considered dangerous and lethal enough to warrant excision of the organ. You get a colostomy. If they don't take too much, what's too much? Well, after a foot or two or three of the 6 feet, then often you get a bag. What they try to do is tie the end of it to the anal area, and it becomes your anus. So if we can get rid of 2 feet and still make you a extension into the anal area, well, then of course they prefer to do that. Sometimes they can't, and because they're nice guys, they give you, the patient, a choice. Would you like to go into the bag for the rest of your life, or would you like a hookup? And this is the reality of it. And I see people regularly who've had this reality, this unfortunate travesty and tragedy. It has to imply that that protective layer, that mucus layer along the inside of the large intestine, it has to imply that it has been overwhelmed, dominated. It has been counterbalanced so aggressively by the poisons growing on the inside that it's about to burn a hole. What's this got to do with clay? Well, we're talking about bentonite clay. We're going to look at pictures of bentonite clay so we all understand where we are. If you must, that product MediClay FX is calcium bentonite. You can latch on to that concept for a moment. But we're going to look at much better pictures later. And I've got three articles up top about the different ways to use bentonite clay. And, of course, what I'm much more interested in, because you can read about claims anywhere, is the bentonite clay, the mechanism of action. And there's two great articles. Actually, one of them is from industry. They use bentonite clay in industry, sodium bentonite usually, not calcium, because it helps in all sorts of industrial applications. But there's very good science to be had there, so I've got the articles posted so you can learn. Point. That mucoid layer, if you ingest bentonite clay, the clay traps the water and the mucus. And the bentonite clay becomes part of the mucus layer. Now, who cares? Well, here's the point. Concept. The large intestine, which we understand is what holds all the smelly stuff that you're going to pass out. The large intestine, very important physiological point here, perspective or emphasis. It is a reservoir. It's a water reservoir. It's a chemical reservoir, meaning there's a give and take from the inside of that tube into your blood. That's important. So what goes in and goes down and goes out just doesn't go in, goes down, and goes out. It also goes back in. In other words, what's in the large intestine recirculates through the lining of the large intestine. That's critical to understand. Lots of applications of this that are wonderful. For instance, talking to a person the other day, they did a prodigiously effective coffee enema. They had enormous releases, and then they vomited. You got that. A coffee enema, lots of bile came out, very successful undertaking, body loosened up, they felt great, and then they vomited. They couldn't understand that concept. When you do a coffee enema, and you get, hopefully you get, that prodigious flow of bile out of your body, that bile is loaded with the worst, most rancid poison, so you're cleaning your blood, and you're cleaning the rest of your body, therefore, at a much higher accelerated rate, as the research suggests. A percentage of that bile that's coming down the large intestine and out into the toilet bowl, a percentage of it is recirculating back in. Or I should say, its poisons are recirculating, but I'll also say a percentage of that bile recirculates back in. Now, there's a classic application. Large intestine does this all the time. Ladies, during the PMS phase, say after you ovulate, after you're in, say, day 20, day 21, right? You ovulate day 14, 15, 13, 12, 12 to 16, 17, you're okay, 18, day 21, 22, 23. Now you're within 7 days of bleeding. You start feeling sick. There's a darn good reason. And that has to do with the way you recirculate your estrogen back into your blood. This is why that biliary system is so critical, because once you recirculate it back in, you can recirculate it back out again. But here's the point. You're always recirculating what you're trying to get out of your body back into your body. This is what this show is about. I do this show for these types of understandings. Because if you don't get this, you don't get the purpose of clay. You can take a manufacturer's claim or some advertiser's claim or some vitamin therapist's claim at Whole Foods or whatnot, but that isn't really where it's at, is it? To understand how the large intestine recirculates things regularly is to understand how the clay will bind into the mucus, and the clay absorbs water. It absorbs water many, many, many times its own weight. So 1 gram might absorb 10 grams of water, something like that. Some outrageous ratio. It forms jello. Calcium bentonite ultimately forms jello on the inner lining of your intestinal tract. And that jello is pushed up against the inner lining of the large intestine. Now, why is that important? Well, you can apply it to what I just said. You're going to reduce the rate of the recirculation of poison back into your blood because you've got this layer of jello because of the clay. Now, who benefits from that and who doesn't benefit? Well, one thing they tend not to tell you, and everyone makes their claim, but I don't believe it personally, and a lot of the people that study clay will back up my statement. The clay also binds up and doesn't allow the recirculation of mineral back into the blood. So the colon's a mineral reservoir, and some of those minerals are important in your own ionic balances. On that basis, there's a downside to the clay. But tell that guy who's a jet fuel mechanic at LAX. Tell that female whose PMS, she's certain, has come from the devil. Straight from hell to PMS, one time every month for 4 to 5 days. Someone working in industry, someone living in San Pedro or living near LAX, anybody exposed to high levels of poison each day is going to suffer, extraordinarily speaking, from this recirculation. So one thing clay is going to do is thicken, buffer, and prevent that recirculation because it makes a wall. Okay? Good. There's a concept. Now, here's another concept. If you take the clay, which can constipate you, so they're constantly talking in the advertising about clay being something that stimulates bowel flow. I don't think so. From my experience, from observing people, more often than not, especially if you tend to be a little sluggish, clay often, I'd say more than often, I'd say if I had to roll the dice on it, if I had to bet, I would say clay more often than not constipates. Well, that's not what you want. Why would you just want to hold the poisons in the large intestine and then not move it out? Again, you've got to understand that clay enhances the dampness of a large intestine. A large intestine is a damp, dark, toxic place, aside from your synergistic probiotics. So when you go throw clay down in there and it thickens that mucus layer, mucus is damp. Mucus has a concentration of water in it. Clay will enhance that concentration. So the clay, water, mucus, toxin, we'll get to the toxins later, combination that thickens that layer, that bloats a little bit, it's more challenging then for you to peristalt, contract that out of there with the same efficacy that you normally do. So if you tend to go what we call damp and heavy in the colon, if you're more Kapha-esque, or whatever you are, if you tend to sludge there, tend to slow, be on the slow side, thyroid's a little low, all sorts of structural promises, reflexes from scars, you're sedentary, you eat lots of sugar, you know, your typical American existence, you're going to bind there, and when you bind, what are you going to do? You're going to feel sick, you're going to enhance the toxicity. And you got to get that. So here we are with clay, calcium bentonite, ingested on the basis of doing you this detoxificatory service, meaning it binds poisons by thickening the mucus layer, prevents them from recirculating back in. And there you are, spending your money all hoity-toity about the fact that you're cleaner on the inside, and there you are getting sicker. Why? Again, you're understanding. Wonderful you're not recirculating the poison back in, but not so good that you're not pooping it out faster. One counters the other. So you have to understand what it takes you in conjunction with the clay to make sure that you go to the bathroom just as much, if not more, than you normally do. If you don't do that, you blew it. And so what do some of the manufacturers recommend? Psyllium husk, which is a ridiculous statement because you can't make across-the-board statements about what enhances bowel flow for people. For many people, psyllium husk is a disaster. I mean, what's the concept with psyllium? It bulks up the stool. Great. It bulks up the stool and it provides some abrasion. Well, bulking up the stool is what clay does in the first place. So how does psyllium help that? You see? Well, perhaps it's a little more fiber-esque psyllium, right? Psyllium husk. And on that basis, you're more likely to peristalt because you're being irritated fundamentally. But this doesn't always work for people. So, point. Yes, if you understand clay, calcium bentonite, you're going to thicken that mucus layer on the inner lining of the intestine. Wonderful. That's a winner. That layer is thickened, you're going to be less likely to recirculate one of the large intestine's normal physiological functions, and so be it, because that's an ion exchange mechanism, that large intestine. So it's got to be able to recirculate. But if your balance is on the side of too much toxin, you better buffer it. If you're sucking down jet fuel at LAX all day long because that's your job, you work in baggage, whatever, you drive a truck, you work on a construction site, you live near a construction site, your house is being remodeled, you've got a penchant towards pounds of makeup on your body all day long, whatever it might be, the point is, great that you buffer that mucus layer, but you've got to go to the bathroom more, and psyllium husk is not always a winner. So, another concept then. You're going to figure out what it takes you to enhance bowel flow when you take bentonite clay. There it is. A concept based on a concept based on a concept. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is a show on concepts. You know, I peruse the literature all the time. It's my profession, so why shouldn't I? And I think that we are doing an incredible job out there in the nutritional industry of throwing the facts at you and giving you a certain amount of understanding. And I think it's amazing how much information you can access how rapidly. Again, the point of the show here is it's data accumulation. And you try to get a sense of the authenticity of the speaker, of the testimonies, of the product, of this, that, and the other thing, most of which comes down to sales. But I think there's a percentage of people who are just getting into information now. People like to sell information. Personally, I love the trend because, you see, information is what's lacking, you see. But there's another level of information, and the level of information asks you to reach a little deeper to understand the physiology, the more educated you get. So if you're new to the show, that's kind of the slant here. Recirculation of poison through the mucus layers of the large intestine, that's a deeper level. Okay, so you found your fiber or whatever it takes you to go to the bathroom a little more, and this clay now is doing its job. What job is it doing, and why is it doing the job that they say it's going to do? Got to go to the website for this. You got to look at the pictures. First of all, look at picture number one. Take a big peek at that picture. Blow it up again. If you press Control Plus, if you're not used to the computer thing, you can make the pictures bigger. Okay? So make sure you understand that. Or you can take two fingers and just separate them on your keyboard if you've got a PC, not a mouse. Make the picture bigger. There they are, the silicates. And you can see that the silicates are a family of clays and clay-like formations that the natural percentages of the earth abounds in different places. And you can see that you've got something on the bottom there, the dioctahedral smectites, okay? Smectites. And one of them is called montmorillonite. Montmorillonite. That's the basis for what we call calcium bentonite clay. And there's sodium bentonite and there's potassium bentonite. But those swell up so much. Sodium bentonite swells up. If you were to down too much sodium bentonite, you might burst. You'll see out of the industry article, and I want you to look at that. Because I love industry, because you see, there's so much money on the line in industry that when chemists publish advising people in industry who are about to spend millions and millions of dollars, they make sure their chemistry is tight. So when you're looking at something and you can afford yourself the luxury of good articles that are in industrial chemistry, these guys are paid top, top dollar to make statements that you cannot mess with. And one that you'll see is sodium bentonite. It's not something we ought to be eating. It really absorbs too much water. But calcium bentonite, main mineral being that montmorillonite, is what the literature will abound. So just understand there's many, many types of clays, and there's many, many types of colors of clays. Now, go to picture number five, because this is really easy to get. Picture number five. Okay, clay. Once clay, calcium bentonite, so I'll talk about this exclusively now. Once the clay is in your intestine, it spreads out in these sheets. And these sheets, like the picture you're looking at, are like slabs. And that gray slab is really what the calcium bentonite is. It's a slab of gray. And in between the slabs of gray are water. It's just that the clay absorbs, like beans absorb, like psyllium husk absorbs. But clay absorbs a lot more of its weight in water than beans or psyllium husk. Now, that's good and it's bad. But for the argument now, understand that clay is absorbing lots of water. Now, what this picture is not showing you, and what I want you to, in your mind, just write in on those gray slabs is negatives. Clay is negatively charged, by and large, with little positive charges on its circumference. In other words, at the edges of those gray rectangles are positive charges. And most of the clay is a predominantly negative species. So it's highly negatively charged. You know, negative ions in the air. Good for you. Clay is highly negatively charged. This is critical because it turns out that many of the things you don't want in your body, that you want coming out of your body, which you're not going to get if the clay makes you constipated. So keep that in mind. But assuming that the clay and whatever else you're doing is making you poop more, those negative charges bind up positive charges. And it just so happens that many of our worst poisons, especially our metals, our toxic metals, cadmium, lead, arsenic, radioactive metals, you name it, are what? They are positively charged. So if you've got strontium 90 somewhere in the cortical bone, and strontium 90 is on its way to giving you radiation cancer, or you're concerned about Fukushima, and you should not be, not in the sense that the Japanese waters are contributing so gravely to the issue of radiation in the world that you need to worry about Fukushima. Don't worry about Fukushima. Worry about why that happened and how maybe it shouldn't have happened. Worry about that. But not that now the oceans are polluted so grossly and Fukushima just tipped the scale and we're all going to get radiation cancer. This is not what any scientist will tell you other than ones that are funded to say that. But the point is, when you take in radioactive minerals from Fukushima or wherever else, how about the job you hold at the radiation lab or the nuclear reactor site or so on and so forth? When you take them in, those positively charged ions, strontium, so on and so forth, are what? They're going to be powerfully bound by the clay. Clay is like a black hole. You know those things way out in the galaxies? When the star collapses, it collapses, collapses, and collapses. Its gravitational field becomes something out of sci-fi, something we can't even imagine. A black hole or a collapsed star can swallow a universe. That's kind of the way you think of clay. Only it's got an interesting characteristic. It's kind of like if clay's a black hole, you'll love this analogy, it's a black hole that works to enhance our resonance. I really want you to take that one in. I want you to think of clay, MediClay FX, wherever you get your calcium bentonite, as a black hole in space that you ingested that doesn't swallow the wrong things, it swallows the right things. Now, that's not completely true. Yes, it's going to bind good minerals. I don't care what anybody says. Clay will bind up minerals that might otherwise be utilized by the body. But in the give and take, in the balance of trade, which is what health is a balance of trade. Sometimes you sacrifice 10 troops to save 1,000 troops. That's the way it goes. And if you're a general and you want to win the war, sometimes you let yourself lose a battle. And this is the way you think of herbs. This is the way you think of clay. This is the way you think of drugs. This is the way you think of surgery. This is the way you think of life. So don't get anally retentive about clay and these notions that it's going to bind up good minerals, because then you're susceptible to false claims or ridiculous claims or claims that really don't give you a reality of what clay is going to bind. But get this one straight. In the balance of trade, clay is going to eat more of the bad stuff than the good stuff, especially if you've got a high concentration of the bad stuff. So it's a black hole in space that you've ingested that works symbiotically with your body. And that's why, as you'll see later on today, animals risk their lives. I have a story about elephants. Elephants in the black of the night going into caves. Caves they can barely fit into, crawling, slithering in the pitched black darkness of the cave, losing life, losing limb, losing child, to find the clay beds to eat. Because the herbivores, I love this, don't you? In the jungle, the herbivores are the ones who have to do this, because if you eat plants, you are going to get sick. Now, that's something that Jared Diamond in The Human Ape recently expressed. Chapter 8, Agricultural's Mixed Blessings, talks about the ingestion of plant food. And it is this ingestion, as the people that study the jungle observe, the ingestion of plant food. The animals that do this must use clay, because they will not survive in the jungle without it. Because what does the clay do? And you guessed it. The clay, at risk to life and limb sometimes, they seek out the beds of the clay, along with the salt licks, but the clay, because the clay is going to provide them with the black hole in their intestines to bind up the alkaloids, the toxic alkaloids, and other different types of chemicals, poisons outright within the plant vegetation that will otherwise kill them. Fascinating stuff. We'll get there in a few minutes. So here's this slab with lots of water, and then the gray is a lot of negatives, and it will attract. And that attraction means what would otherwise get recirculated in is not going to recirculate back in. So in the balance of trade, you lower the concentration in any given moment of circulating poison, from estrogen to anything you picked up at the airport. Picture number 9. Many, many types of clays. Not going to get into the differences. There's the black clays. There's the red clays. They'll vary because their minerals vary. They all basically do the same thing, but their mineral contents will vary. And clay is also eaten. It's preferred over dirt. Animals will eat dirt. Pregnant women will eat dirt. Your dog will eat dirt. Gorillas eat dirt, but they prefer clay. Clay is a more mineral-rich entity than most dirts. Clay has been prized from the beginning of time, even in simple, superficial archaeological find. In terms of history, we understand that clay has been sought and utilized and exalted as a healing remedy from the beginning of time. That's nothing new, but the different colors represent the different minerals. Now, you've got to get one concept straight. I thought a great picture. This is the power of pictures. They say so many things that words are terrible at communicating. Look at picture number 12 or picture 11. I put this in there twice. I put it in twice because it's so important for you to understand. Well, it really is, because you're going to hear these words and they'll haunt you for the rest of your life if you don't get them straight. So let's get these straight. We say clay is absorptive, or ad, A-D as in doctor, zorptive. It's absorption or adsorption. This picture illustrates the difference beautifully. If something is ab, A-B as in boy, zorptive, it simply takes the poison in to the center of its molecular structure. And if something is adsorptive, AD, it's going to take something and bind it at the surface of its structure. Done. Bentonite clay, calcium bentonite in particular, is both ab and adsorptive. It's more absorptive because the negative bonds are more inward to the entire molecule. So it's a little more absorptive, but it is also adsorptive. Either way, it's a sucker or a chelator of good things and bad things. And in the balance of trade, it'll take more of the bad than the good. Why? Well, this is the kinky part of it. And this is the part that I don't think the science is too clear on. You got to understand, in industry, we don't care about good minerals. We only care about what we care about. And industry has done the better aspects of the research. The chronology of medical literature, in other words, what people have done over the centuries using clay, suggests what a certain amount of science will back up. And that's in the fact that its absorptive qualities and adsorptive, so both qualities of it, will leave you on the more intelligent side of your physiology. Meaning, if the clay goes in, it exchanges out the good minerals it has, and it takes in the bad minerals. Why are animals eating out of the clay beds? I'm not going to direct you to these pages, but if you're looking at 17, 18, 19, 20, don't blow them up. Just look at those pages. Elephants, ox, whatever that thing is in picture number 18, that dog hanging out in the mud there, picture number 17. What are these animals doing? These animals are eating minerals. They're eating, a lot of animals go after sodium bentonite. Why? Because they need the sodium. In drought, the animals will travel at risk to their life to get the minerals they're not getting during starvation times, during drought. They'll go to the darker, damper places like caves. Caves they can't see in, caves they can't fit in, caves that have holes. Lots of caves have drops. Those drops for an elephant, if an elephant falls 25 feet, it's a dead elephant. So animals will do this. And then the photographers go in there and take the pictures. I mean, it's just absolutely fascinating watching nature have remedies for everything. Unless they, what, go into captivity. In captivity, they get dumb. Can you really just sit back, relax, and take a look at that statement? I'll read you a quote later on from a gentleman. Actually, let me read it now. It's just so fascinating. Maurice French, M-E-S-S-E-G-U-E. A wild animal living free never poisons itself, for it knows what foods to choose. This is an instinct animals lose when they are domesticated. I love that kind of stuff. This guy doesn't care what you eat. He's got nothing to sell. He passed away maybe many, many years ago. Who knows? This is just a voice out in the dust. But it is the word of truth. It's an unbiased statement, and it's telling us to take a look at something. Animals have it figured out. Well, why is this important for you to really respect? Because it's not so far-fetched for you to eat dirt. Well, I guess that message hasn't made it to Kaiser. I guess that message hasn't made it to most people. This is considered something bizarre, the ingestion of clay. It's dangerous. Why do we destroy the world, pollute it to its brink, let that, but not ingest a little bit of clay, because that's dangerous. You see, it's that Kool-Aid thing again. So there are these animals now, and they're going into the dense caves of the jungle, seeking out in times of drought minerals in the clay. But wait a minute, what about clay protecting them from toxins and poisons? Yes, but I'm not talking about that. To understand the power of clay is to understand that what clay is going to do is it's going to participate in ion exchange. That simply means if you eat the clay and your body needs germanium, or your body needs selenium, or your body needs sodium because you're starving, but not here in the jungle. And your body needs calcium. Whatever your body needs, if the clay's got it, the clay will give it up and exchange it out for cadmium, for lead, for garbage. Clay has an intelligence. Clay is like the show I'm going to do within the next month on bees. It exhibits an intelligence that pure chemistry cannot explain. And you see, this is the problem. Chemists are blind. And medical doctors learn from chemists. It's a watered-down chemistry. But nonetheless, at the root of our scientific paradigm is the chemistry, is the biochemistry, is the physical chemistry. And when we have entities like clay that either funding nor technology can support the function of, we deny its function. And this is the retardation within the guts of science that spreads to your medical community. So here's clay doing something bizarre, doing something that we can't fully document, doing something we can't fully explain. Even in terms of the physical chemistry, we can't explain it. We don't have the technology. We don't have the funding. We don't have the desire. Most people that get into it sit back and go, why should I spend the 10 years of my tenured life at a university trying to explain something no one's going to believe anyway, number one. I can't make any money on, number two. And number three, I can't even understand it myself. So why risk age 50 to 70 proving something or trying to explain something? And even if they're into it, even if they practice it, you know what happens? When people use things like propolis, like honey, like royal jelly, which we're going to try to get a show out about fairly soon, when people have these health practices like banya, and the science doesn't back it up, they don't care. The skeptic is always there saying, if it's true, why haven't I heard about it? If it's true, why hasn't the AMA told me? I mean, how just naive can you get? If I haven't heard about it, why haven't my doctors told me? What planet are you on? If I haven't heard about it and read about it, how come I haven't met a lot of people who've done it? And this is the mindset, and you got to understand something. Once people know something works, once they go through the pain of sharing information that gets thrown back at them, they don't care anymore. Who cares that you understand anything about calcium bentonite? Who cares? I'm going to use it. I'm going to profit from it. I'm not going to get diverticulitis. I'm going to reduce the instances of colon cancer. I'm going to take it in and bind up the toxins. Why should I share it with you? And the net effect of that is nobody talks about it. So you got to understand the social history around the use of these things as you decide whether or not it's worth a shot or an inquiry on your behalf. Now, my point was what? My point was is that clay has a funny characteristic that we really can't explain. I don't think the chemistry on this from getting into the literature is really sound on this, but this is what it does. If it sees uranium, it sees strontium, if it sees cobalt, if it sees these big heavy metals, cadmium, lead, so on and so forth, it sucks them in and holds them and eats them. It buries them, absorbs them. That's huge. That's a really big deal. Lithium. But don't take it if you're on lithium because it'll interfere with your doses, and consult with your medical doctor regularly for the use of calcium bentonite. Make sure you get his okay and support before you try anything like this. To do so could be hazardous, and so you have to proceed at your own risk. Please understand that with any and all of these shows or anybody's shows pertaining to how you can help yourself extend your longevity. There's an intelligence in calcium bentonite that has to be understood biophysically. Biophysically. And its biophysical intelligence is that it retains the resonance of the earth. If you break clay down, clay is what? It's a transducer. Now, this is important to get. Clay has been revered. It has been exalted in the history of healing, from Cleopatra's famous usages of it to the Incans, to the Ayans, to Aztec clay, to the Indians using it in the Black Hills of South Dakota. I mean, across the board, clay has been understood as a great vehicle for healing. It represents, it holds the vibrational frequency from the core of the earth. Remember, the earth is a ball of metal. Its inner core has two layers. And the inner core of this inner core is solid metal. the outer layer of the inner core. The outer layer is liquid, and it's spinning round and round and round and round and round, thousands and thousands of miles an hour, and it gives off a magnetic field. Clay holds that magnetic field. Clay has a resonance that is supreme. The resonance of clay is the resonance that talks to the hypothalamus. Clay feeds the hypothalamus. Clay creates intelligence in the enteric nervous system, another concept. Via the vagus nerve, clay excites, clay persuades, clay refines the precision in the communication from the plexuses within the intestinal tract to the hypothalamus to the vagus back and forth. Clay is a primer. Clay brings us closer to the original primal life-driving intelligence of the body. And so why should we be surprised then that if you work at a gas station, if you work in construction, if you live in San Pedro or Long Beach or Torrance, if you live in New York City, if you live up in Fresno, if you live where there's industry, if you live where there's pesticides, if you live anywhere in the asphalt jungle, the ingestion of clay is going to do you a service beyond its level of chemical intelligence. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Be on the website, straighttalk.cc. If you want a comportium, if you want to put all of this together, all the good work of all the ages together to give you a navigation to a healing, and I can't think of any better way to say it, then you call 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. And you make an appointment, and I'll give you that assessment, and I'll point you in that direction, and I'll tell you what to do. But don't call that number if you're a joker. And what I mean by a joker is if you're simply ready to talk about what herb do you take for your problem? If you have a kindergarten approach, if you have a baby approach to your health, don't call that number. Because that's not what I enjoy. I enjoy when people who are sincere, people who want life, people who are passionate about living, and people who have just because life can deal you some harsh blows, are lost in their healing. They can't put it together. They've tried the herbs. They've done this, that, and the other thing. And it's not that we won't use and suggest plant herbs. It's that if you want a higher concept and you want to work and make your lifestyle changes, you call and find out what that journey with me is about. 714-850-1007. Back to the biophysical clay. Look at picture number 17. Fascinating. Dogs do that. Gorillas do that. Elephants do that. Look at page 18, picture number 18. I don't even know what that is. I forget the name of it. But it's at a clay lick. It's eating clay. That's what it's up to. And that's at night. That's when animals do this, generally. Look at picture 19. Bunch of big horned oxes, I guess they are. Oxes of sorts. They're in there in that dead swamp. That's a lot of clay. That's soil, that's clay, that's nutrition, and that is binding up the poisons that they're eating out there in that vegetation. Look at picture number 20. Great picture of a bunch of elephants getting it going. You know what they're doing? They're actually feeding the soil that's got a pretty high percentage of clay. In other words, soil is not clay. Clay is not soil. But where you find soil, you'll find clay, and where you find clay, you'll find soil. Usually these things are mixed. If we're calling it a clay bed, it's because there's more clay than there ordinarily is in regular soil. Doesn't really matter. Those two elephants don't care. They're getting what they need, and they're feeding the clay to each other through their trunks. Just look at that. Look at nature. These are African elephants. from what I gather. Their ears are bigger. They seem taller. The Indian elephants are the little ones. And they live in places. They live in places like, there you go. That's somewhere in Africa. Mount, I think it's Mekeno, M-I-K-E-N-O, or M-E-C, M-E-K-E-N-O. Forget the name of it. Look at that. I think that's Rwanda. That's where the gorillas are. Not you don't find the elephants there, right? But the gorillas. Look at that. Look at those two elephants. They're feeding each other. They're loving each other. They're going to the clay bed in times of drought, and they're feeding each other in an act of love. And those elephants will live 150, 200, 250 years old. The memory of an elephant. If an elephant meets you when an elephant is 3 years old, I mean, just check this out. If an elephant meets you when it's three, and you do that elephant a service, when that elephant is 150 years old, that elephant will remember you. That's astounding. And these are animals that in the dark of night will go into the internal caves where you can drop 25 or 30 feet and perish in these dark, black, bat-infested caves to seek out these clays because they need them. They need them for minerals, and they trust in nature to deliver them to health so they can sustain a full life. Amazing stuff. Back to the show. All right, so couple of types of clays. I think we should go to the top of the page. Let's spend a minute on mechanism of action. Go to the top of the page, the first article, mechanism of action. Take a look at this page. Give you a second to get the page up. Mechanism of action to the clays. And this is a full 75-page article, so you peruse through it on your own time. But I want you to scroll down now, and I want you to go to picture page number 5. Page number 5, what is bentonite? Page number 5, what is bentonite clay? Clay material, primarily the mineral montmorillonite. Essentially two types. Sodium bentonite. That's not what we're talking about. Highly absorbent. So that's that word. Absorbent means those negative particles on the inside take expandable to 14 times its volume. So if its volume is 1 cubic centimeter, once it absorbs water, it will go all the way up to 14 times its volume. Results in excellent binding properties. Right, if you want to pull a poison out, put something like that in there. Southern clay or calcium bentonite swells and expands a lot less. And that's the one you're taking. And then you go to page 6, classic bentonite. They're showing you calcium and sodium bentonite. And what I want you to look at is the structure of bentonite. What is bentonite fiber? Bentonite fiber formation, page 10. So just scroll down to page 10, bentonite fiber formation. What happens is the bentonite begins to combine itself via its fibers into one long sheath. And that's what they call fibrous. And on the bottom of that page 10, that's titled bentonite fiber formation, it says fibers are formed when bentonite platelets spread apart like a deck of cards. And that's the concept now. You're taking this sort of disorganized, dry powder. When you mix it with a liquid, it begins to spread itself out in sheaths. And we say that the fibers are formed when bentonite platelets, which are the little shards of the bentonite molecule spread out like a deck of cards. And once we have this long sheath, then it turns into that picture I showed you earlier, those stacks. And by and large, we have negative particles predominating in between water, and that massive increase in volume now is creating this bind with the mucus on the inside of the large intestine, and collectively now you've got your wall. So you look through that yourself. The other one I wanted to show to you is 15 ways to use bentonite clay. So what are some of the claims here? I'm not going to make any claims, right? We're not going to do that. But if you get to that one, red desert clay, I think it's a decent sort of a build-out on some of the safer claims that can be made. One thing we know from industry, it'll bind up mercury, aluminum, lead, arsenic, cadmium, strontium, uranium. That's huge. And we explained why. Now then they get into pesticides, herbicides, formaldehydes, PCBs, the different xenoestrogens that are called plastics, dioxins, which is another form of a pesticide in a sense. Now, what about a pesticide? Are all pesticides positively charged? No. So don't understand, don't think that simply clay by itself constitutes the full range of solutions in the inside of the intestinal tract. And understand, of course, you've got to get that pesticide. You've got to get that heavy metal where it needs to go. We're out of time. I just can't get it all to you each week. Okay, well, that's it on clay. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.